All right, good morning, everyone. So we're continuing this week in Kapitol Lamed Gimel, chapter 33 in Tehillim. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, so last year we spoke about the unique aspect of this Kapitol. The most unique part, of course, so far has been the fact that this is an upbeat, optimistic, incredibly almost joyful type of Kapitol, which stands in contradistinction to the general tone and general dynamic of the Kapitol that we've seen until now. We spoke about again that David HaMelech is really speaking or really coming from a perspective of incredible love, passionate love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where did this passionate love come from? So we spoke about the idea that it appears from this Kapitol, David HaMelech is first finding God through nature. That ultimately, by beholding the natural universe, by being able to see the wondrous glory of God through the creations of God, so David HaMelech literally falls in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We then develop the idea, the difference between tzaddikim and yesharim. This concept, ultimately, that tzaddikim represent absolute perfection, yesharim represent individuals who, although are still highly imperfect. We ended off last week with a discussion of the Netziv, that the Netziv in his Akdamah, his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, brings down the idea that Sefer Bereishis is called the Sefer Yesharim, speaks about the book of the upright. And we spoke about from the Netziv, why is it called the Yesharim? The Yesharim refers to the Avos and the Mahos. Why are the Avos and the Mahos called Yesharim? So the Netziv explains because they exhibited a general care, compassion, empathy for greater mankind. They were not just concerned with their own, but they were concerned with humanity. But we said, based on what David HaMelech is saying in this Kapitol, a Yashar also refers to an imperfect individual. And perhaps when we call Sefer Yesharim, the message that really comes out is one need not be perfect in order to have a relationship with Hashem. And I realized, as I was reflecting on this piece, preparing for this year, I hope I emphasized it enough, because all too often people walk through life with this idea that the Ribono Shel Olam demands an all or nothing. You're either in or you're out. And the truth is that is unequivocally untrue. The Ribono Shel Olam just wants some level of honest commitment. If it's a little commitment, if it's a lot of commitment, obviously we aspire for a good dose of commitment, but sometimes a person is not ready to commit fully in life. Sometimes a person is not holding on a level where they feel they could practice everything they believe in or feel they could actualize all of the responsibilities. And a person should never, chas v'shalom, think that if I can't be perfect, then there's no room in God's heart for me. Absolutely, unequivocally untrue. The Ribono Shel Olam is happy to have us in whatever state. All he wants us is for two things. He wants us to be honest. We've seen that theme over and over in Sefer Tehillim. He wants us to be honest, and he wants us to be growth-oriented. He just wants us to be more. Two things that the Ribono Shel Olam cannot stand, not that I'm God's spokesman, but two things that God cannot stand is dishonesty and stagnation. Because if a person is dishonest, they're going nowhere in life. And if a person says, this is who I am, love it or leave it, you know, this is what I am. So a person like that who's not interested in growth in any way, shape, or form, the Ribono Shel Olam is crushed. Ribono Shel Olam is it's so saddening. It's depressing for God to see someone who is just simply willing to flatline and be able to say, this is who I am. So therefore, David HaMelech says, yes, it goes without saying, Raninu Tzadikim. Of course, the righteous could always praise God, but the novelty of what David HaMelech is teaching us is, La Yesharim Na'avos Sehila. The Yesharim, even those who are highly imperfect, even those, again, who are simply a work in progress, even those individuals still have the ability to offer praise. Even those people still have the ability to forge a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we did last week. What I want to draw your attention to this week is we're going to focus on the last three sentences, the last three psukim of this kapitel. So if you look in Pasuk Chaf, I underlined it in number one. Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem. Ezreinu umagineinu hu. We'll just use the English translation here. Our soul yearns for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now the truth is, this English translation is not entirely accurate, because if I were to ask you, how do you translate nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, how would you translate it? Wait. Right? So chaker really means to wait. Okay, here it translated as yearn, but let's be a little bit more etymologically accurate. Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, our soul waits for God. Ezreinu umagineinu hu. He is our Ezra, he is our help. Magain, he is our shield. Kivoyis mach libenu, because it is in you, Hashem, It is in you, Hashem, that our heart will rejoice. Ki b'shem kadsho batachnu, for we have placed our faith in your holy name. Yehi chastecha Hashem aleinu, may your kindness, Lord, be upon us. Ka'asher yichalnu lach, as we have placed our hope in you. So, obviously, one doesn't have to read too much into these psukim. The truth is, they're pretty self-explanatory. This idea of putting trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, putting our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's try to explore a little bit more deeply what David HaMelech is trying to convey. So if you take a look at number two, and I apologize in advance for the quality of this copy, but this is from a Sefer Zera Yaakov, which is a Perush on Tehillim. So he writes, if you look at the beginning where you see the letter A, he says, Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem. Now, what does that mean? My soul waits for you, God. He says, Ezreinu magineinu, api mashe kasav, imkishe Yisrael osim ritzonu yisparach shemo, Azayhim adifim mimalochei asharis. When we go ahead and we fulfill the will of God, so we are even better than all of the angels. Umekablin schar meito yisbarach shemo velo al yedei malach v'sar. Kimo shematzino gabe Moshe shaloki bal shefa rak meito yisbarach shemo atzmo. So the Zera Yaakov brings us something very interesting. He explains essentially, God does not micromanage. What does it mean, God doesn't micromanage? The Ribono Shel Olam delegates. So, for example, there's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says that Kol Adar Bechutz La'aretz K'misha Ein Lo Eloka. Whoever lives outside the land of Israel, it's as if he doesn't have a God. Or another version of that Gemara, Kol Adar Bechutz La'aretz K'misha Ovid Avodah Zarah. Somebody who lives outside the land of Israel, it's as if he worships idolatry. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? No matter how much importance one places on the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, you can't say that if somebody doesn't live, they don't have a God, or they're worshiping idolatry. So one of the explanations that's advanced is the following. What's unique about Eretz Yisrael? The Torah says, Einei Hashem Elokecha Bat Tamid Mereshes Hashan Avad Acharis. So when it comes to what happens in the rest of the world, God delegates. God delegates. So how much rainfall is going to be in Baltimore? That the Ribono Shel Olam delegates to one of his angelic hosts. Somebody else is responsible for that. And God does that with the entire world. There's only one part, one place on the entire planet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself does not delegate, and that is Eretz Yisrael. So for example, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is innately connected to the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who oversees it. That Jemosh, who literally goes ahead and oversees every single detail. So the Zera Yaakov writes the following. He says, if we globalize this concept, what comes out is like this. When Klal Yisrael, when we do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, so how does God reciprocate? Right? Because remember, again, the Baal Shem Tov has this concept of, we say in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha. Literally, Hashem is your shadow. Hashem is your shade. The Baal Shem Tov explains that essentially in our relationship with God, there is a little bit of a quid pro quo, a little bit of a tit for tat, a midah keneged midah. What I do for God, he reciprocates. So if I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does he reciprocate, so to speak? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you served me, you've gone out of your way for me, then I'm going to deal with you directly. I'm not going to have you dealt with by one of my angelic intermediaries or angelic hosts. I'm going to deal with you directly. When we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, the Ribono Shel Olam takes care of us directly. And he says something amazing. V'zeh she'amar nafshenu chiksa la'Hashem. So says something beautiful. What is David HaMelech saying? Ribono Shel Olam, you know what I want more than anything? It's not that I need to know that you're here. I know that you're here. And it's not that I need to know that you're taking care of me. I know you're taking care of me. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that intensity of spirit, that intensity. You know, it's like lahavdil. If you go ahead and you want to send a loved one a gift, you want to send a loved one a gift. So there are two ways I could send the gift. I could send it by mail and it'll be delivered to them and it'll look beautiful. Or I could deliver it myself. Which one is more impactful? Of course, the self, because by definition, when my loved one sees that I am bringing the gift, that I'm delivering the gift, even though it's the same gift, it's the same value, the recipient will get the same benefit from the object, whether I deliver it or UPS delivers it, there's something so much more meaningful and loving about the direct delivery. So the Zera Yaakov says like this, David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're going to take care of me. I know you love me. I know you're going to give me what I need. I know you're going to provide for me. I know all of these things. But you know what I want more than anything? Nafshenu chiksa la'Hashem. Do you know what I want more than anything? It's not that I want the parnasa, but I want to feel that it's coming directly from you. It's not just that I want the refuah. I want to feel that it's coming directly from you. Everything that I have in life, I want to feel like you're showing up at my doorstep and you are giving it to me. You understand what David HaMelech is saying over here? You understand what's happening here? David HaMelech is saying is, and this is over and over until him, and I think sometimes this is a message that's lost on us because very often we have a very utilitarian relationship with God. Why do I have a relationship with God? Why? Why? Because I need stuff. Because I need stuff. I'm not talking about like Cyber Monday stuff. I need stuff. I need refuah. There's somebody in my life, a loved one who's sick. I need parnasa. I need. You know, the Gemara says that sometimes we are like barking dogs, the Gemara says. Just like the Gemara says, the barking dog says, hov, hov. You know, bark, bark. So that's sometimes our relationship with God. Give me, give me. Now again, I don't want to downplay that. If a person really believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives me everything, and therefore I'm always saying, give me, I need, that's an incredible maila. Because a lot of people don't even realize that everything comes from God. So at least if I'm on the level that everything comes from God. But David HaMelech is saying, Nebuch, if that's all my relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm missing out on so much. Not that I'm going to get patched, not that I'm going to get punished, not that I'm not going to get a big enough portion of the Abba. No, I'm going to get all the schar because it's a beautiful thing to believe that everything comes from God. But I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out on a relationship. There is nothing more beautiful and wonderful and fulfilling and gratifying in life than a relationship with Hashem. There is nothing, clinical tests have shown, there is nothing better or no greater recipe for life happiness than a meaningful, passionate, loving relationship with Hashem. So David HaMelech, after he says, God, I know you're going to take care of me. It's not it. I'm not asking you for stuff here because you give me this stuff. You've always given me this stuff. You know what I want? Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem. I just want to feel you. I just want, not feel you because I'm suffering, not feel you because I'm in need. I just want to feel that constant sense of loving connection. I don't want one of your angelic intermediaries. I don't want one of your angelic emissaries, even if they're going to pile bracha on top of me until I have more than enough. I just want to feel you. Which then leads the obvious question, which is, how do you get that? Right? So obviously, again, you know, the Klal Gadol in life is the Ribono Shel Olam appears before us multiple times each and every day. And God extends his divine hand in an effort to take ours in his hand multiple times every day. We miss the boat. We miss the boat, right? We just literally miss, we miss the divine overtures. It's just like sometimes in a relationship, a person could just be totally ignorant to the fact that either a spouse or a friend is reaching out. So God reaches out all the time. Just we're not holding. We just don't hear it. We don't see it. So how do I get to the level where ultimately I feel nafshinu chiksa l'Hashem? Turn the page. Look at paragraph B. Look at paragraph B. Actually, skip down a little bit where it says C. Chof Aleph. So remember again, the first pasuk says, well, when I say first pasuk, I mean pasuk chaf, nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, David HaMelech saying, God, I want to feel you as reinu umagineinu hu. I know that you're my protector. I know you're my shield. I know you're there. I know you provide. But I'm telling you, I want to feel you. So how do you feel? Don't we all struggle with this? Maybe it's just me. We all struggle with this because it is so easy to be a behavioral Jew. It is so easy to be behaviorally pious. But yet sometimes I feel like there's just something missing that I just, and again, not in a, I want more. How do I get more? Look what David HaMelech says. Paragraph C. Ki vo yismach libenu. How do you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life? Rotz lomar, she'ikar zichiyahu im osim mitzvosav besimcha. Vituvlev. Do you want to know how you could fall in love with God? You know, it's interesting. What he's quoting over here is a very interesting idea from Rashi. You have to love God. What's the problem with that commandment? And that is an obligation. What's the problem with that? What's the problem? You're too frum. I know, all of you are too frum to think. What's the problem? You can't legislate love. You can't legislate love, Right? This is, and by the way, this is very, very important. Love has to be, love is a feeling. Love is a feeling. And either it's there or it's not there. Can you cultivate love? I mean, this is a much bigger discussion that has many ramifications. The notion of, you know, marry first and love later, I'm not 100%. That's entirely correct. I'm not 100%. I think marry first with the sapling of love and nurture that love later on. It will grow, but there's got to be something to work with. You have to have, you know, it has to be something, yesh lamal daber, has to be something that you can nurture. So what does it mean to love God? What does that mean to love God? How could, and it gets even stronger, how could God command me to love him? You know, it's one of the, okay, so what does it mean? So what does Rashi say? This is a shir by itself, but what does Rashi say on that pasuk? Rashi says, asei devarav me'ahava. Rashi says, what does it mean to love God? When you do the mitzvos, do them like you love them. What does that mean? Do them like you love them. So Rashi HaKadosh is teaching us a very important idea. The concept of behavioral conditioning. Acharei ha-pe'ulos nimshachos halavavos. We influence how we feel by what we do. And Rashi says something absolutely amazing. If I perform the mitzvos like I love God, but I don't love God, I don't love the mitzvos, I actually don't enjoy doing this, but if you keep doing it in a way that looks like you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you know what will happen? You know what will happen? You will come to love God. Do you know the way to build a successful marriage? This is not a Shalom Bayis class, but to build a successful marriage, everything you do in the context of your marriage, you do it with love, even if you don't like it. I don't like taking out the garbage. There, I said it, right? My wife heard it. I don't like taking out the garbage. But you know what? That is a small way in which I contribute towards my household. And so my obligation is to do it out of love, not because I inherently love taking out the garbage. No one inherently loves taking out the garbage. But by definition, if this is something I want to do to contribute to an atmosphere of love and respect, then by definition, I have to do it as if I love it. I have to approach it. And it's true in every single thing, in within a marital relationship, within every relationship. If you want love, this is the big misnomer about love, that people think that they just want to fall in love or feel love. Like somehow if you sit on the couch, you know, holding your glass of soda, and the love is just going to pour into your heart somehow. That's not where love comes from. You know how you fall in love either with the spouse or you fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You do. And you do and you do and you do like you're in love, even though at first you may not be in love. But if you keep doing on the construct or in a framework of love, one day you will wake up and that love will absolutely be there. That's why Rashi says, God can never legislate, God can never command me to love him. Instead, what God says is, do me a favor. When you do my mitzvos, pretend. Pretend. Right? Pretend. Pretend like you do. And you know what happens? Something amazing. After enough time of behavioral modification, you will fall in love. You know, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky tells a story that he was once at a psychiatric conference. And he was sitting across the table from a world-renowned psychiatrist. And it was during one of the presentations. And he sees this world-renowned psychiatrist is going like this with his mouth. He's going like this with his mouth. So Twersky writes, it's quite cute. He thought, you know, that the patients overtook the asylum. Right? He said, what is this guy? He's world-renowned psychiatrist. What is he doing the whole time? So Twersky was intrigued. He went over to the individual afterwards. He says, excuse me, Dr. So-and-so. I just have to know. Through the whole presentation, you're going like this. What are you doing? And he says something amazing. He told Twersky, I forgot the name of this physician. He said, there are times in life that I don't feel happy. There are times in life that I simply don't feel like smiling. And I've come to realize that if I manipulate my mouth enough in the form of a smile after enough time, it takes. So that's not his chiddush. The Sefer HaChinuch already said that. Acharei ha-pe'ulos nimshachos halavavos. If you want to feel a certain way, feelings don't begin here. Feelings begin through your actions. What you do in life create the emotional reality with which you live. You want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Wonderful. That's not going to come first in your heart. That's going to come in your hands. That's going to come through action. It's going to come through things that you do. Then if you do enough out of love, one day you will feel in love. So now come back to paragraph C. So beautifully, he says to Zera Yaakov, that's what David HaMelech is saying. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to feel nafshinu chiksa laHashem. I want to feel close to you. I want to feel in love with you. How do I do it? Kivo yismach libenu. You know how? By serving you with simcha. By serving you with simcha, by serving you out of joy, by when I do things for you, I'm not just going to do it to get by. I'm not just going to do it to discharge an obligation. I'm going to do it with simcha. But I think what's so validating about this is the following. We all know the concept of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha. But the truth is we often say to ourselves, but you know, I don't feel in a state of simcha. The amazing validating concept that Zera Yaakov is saying is that's okay. Because sometimes you don't feel b'simcha. Sometimes you actually don't want to serve God. Sometimes you're not in the mood for it. Sometimes you're just not feeling it. That's okay. That's human nature. Nobody is always like emotionally 1,000% in anything they do in life. So, but what's the chap? The chap is keep doing it anyway. And even if it only looks like you're in love with God, but you're not really feeling it on the inside, keep it up, keep doing it. And the amazing part, what will happen? One day, you will fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give me one moment. Let me just finish up the Zera Yaakov. So again, look at paragraph. See, Rotz Lomar, She'ikir Zichiyahu im osim mitzosav b'simcha v'tuv lev ki yadua. He quotes over from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu says by the Tochacha, that wise Klal Yisrael often fall out of a relationship with God, Tachas, Asher lo avaratas Hashem lokecha b'simcha. Skip down a little bit. See, he goes on in paragraphs D, E, and F to talk about the last pasuk, Yichi chastucha Hashem aleinu. So he goes through a different interpretation. I think based on Zera Yaakov, the way you could interpret it is like this. If we bring this all together, so first approach is, what is David HaMelech saying in this last section? Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem. Ribono shel olam, all I want to do is fall in love with you. That's all I want. You'll give me this stuff. You always give me this stuff. I just want to fall in love with you. How do I fall in love with you? Kivo yismach libenu. By serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of simcha. But it sounds, excuse me, it sounds so trite. Right? Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu simcha, right? We all know it. But the chap is like this, that even if you don't feel it, even if I don't feel b'simcha, even if I don't feel in love, asei devarav me'ava. Just at least do it behaviorally. That if somebody were to look at me, if somebody sees me taking out the garbage, they mamish think that I've just won publisher's clearinghouse. If that's, do it in a state of simcha. Make it look like you're b'simcha. And you know what? Over time, you will feel that simcha. Over time, you will feel that love. And what's the last pasuk? Because remember, finishing number one, what's the last pasuk in that section? Yihi chastucha Hashem aleinu k'ayir she'en chanalach. And you know what the amazing part is? When you fall in love with God, when you fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the amazing part is you begin to see the incredible chesed that God has showered upon you. You see, the amazing part is, and we'll discuss this more in depth, there are so many brachos that we each have. But we are often so focused on what's wrong, so focused on what we lack, so focused on what we need, that we just simply, either we take a magia li attitude in life, that we assume that what I have is coming to me. What I have is owed to me. Well, the Ribono Shel Olam owes me absolutely nothing. So the amazing part is that after I fall in love with God, Yihi chastucha Hashem aleinu, that ultimately I see the incredible chesed. I see the incredible kindness. I see all of the beautiful things that God has bestowed upon me, because that's what happens when you fall in love. When you fall in love with someone, whether it's a person or whether it's with God, you suddenly see things that you never saw before, wonderful things, right? Those things may have been present beforehand, but I didn't have the emotional connectedness to be able to see it or appreciate it. Well, guess what? When you fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is now attainable for each of us, suddenly I have the ability to see all of the beautiful chesed that he bestows upon me in every moment. Yes?
I know what you're saying is true. At the same time, you started today by saying that one of the things that Hashem cannot stand is dishonesty. So how...
Oh, because it's not dishonest. It's an excellent point. Meaning, isn't behaviorally serving God in a way that looks like I love him, even if I don't emotionally feel it, isn't that dishonest? And the answer is no. No. That's it. Right? So why not? Because I'm honest with my intentions. My intentions are, I don't feel it now, but I'm doing this with the intention of coming to a point where I do feel it. So I'm not dishonest. I'm not pretending like I feel it. I don't. But I know that if my actions are a certain way, at a certain time, I will come to feel it. So I'm honest with where I am now, but I also know where I'm trying to get to. So that's our first approach. Take a look number now at the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra writes something very beautiful. He says also, and again, the truth is, I really should have done probably this approach number two as approach number one, because this is probably the most straightforward approach of everything we're going to learn today. The Ibn Ezra writes, Nafshenu ba'avur shira'inu yirei Hashem v'amyachalim lo nimlatu al kei nafshenu chiksalo. So according to Ibn Ezra, David HaMelech is quite saying something much simpler. He's saying in the capital God, there are times when we are in trouble. Nafshenu chiksala Hashem. Ibn Ezra understands that to refer to a time, I'm waiting for your salvation because I am in trouble, God. I need you. But the good news is, I know that you have come through for others in the past, and therefore the same way you've come through for others, you'll come through for me. The Radak says in number four, Nafshenu chiksa lefichach ezrenu ma'agineinu hu bihinat zlo. God, I know that you will be my salvation. Nafshenu chiksa la'ashem ezrenu ma'agineinu, when will you be my shield? When will you be my protector? When you come through for me. I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble now, but I have confidence that you're going to come through for me. And when you do come through for me, I will once again proclaim you as my protector, my shield. Radak number five. Ki bo yismach libenu. When will we rejoice in God? Ki sheyatzilenu min haroos. Bo yismach libenu. When will I rejoice in God? When he saves me. When he saves me, ki karnu ki atshua ba'alami to me ito, because I will discover that really salvation came from God. Ki b'shem katshua batachnu l'fichach yitzilanu. Because we maintained our faith, therefore God will come through for us. So again, according to this second approach, yes.
Does that mean that you're not, what if Hashem doesn't save you? What if the answer is no?
Excellent question. So that's going to be the hole in this, because again, what the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, are trying to say is that David HaMelech is simply saying, God, when I am in trouble, I put my faith in you that you will come through for me. Why do I do that? Simply because I've seen you come through for others. Whether others means literally contemporary others, or others means perhaps in a historical sense. I know that you've come through for us as a people and as individuals in the past. And therefore, again, I am confident that you will come through again for me now. And I will literally pledge my allegiance to you as my protector, as my shield. When you do come through. So according to this approach of the Ibn Ezra and Radak, there's David HaMelech is simply saying, I believe you'll come through, and I can't wait to thank you when you do come through. Of course, again, we're left then with the question about the times in life where God, quote unquote, doesn't come through, or perhaps better stated, when God doesn't come through in the way that I expected or the way that I had hoped, which is why, again, I should have really done that approach. And I think what the Ibn Ezra HaDak is just pashup shat. It's just simpler approach what David HaMelech is saying. So let's now use it as a segue into our third approach for today, the Malbim. So the Malbim takes things on a little bit more of a complex way. He says, Nafshenu chiksa v'Hashem. He says, chika Hamora al hatikva mekushar imchika milashon hamtana. So the Malbim says chiksa, and by the way, if you notice, that's why the English translation we used over here said yearns. So the Malbim says chika does not just simply mean to wait. Chika means hamora al hatikva mekushar imchika milashon hamtana. So chiksa means to wait with eager anticipation. You know, you could wait for something, but you're not sure it's going to come to fruition, right? You could wait for something, and you're not sure what's going to happen. Or you could wait for something with a sense of eager anticipation. So says the Malbim, Nafshinu chiksa, not just simply, I wait for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I wait for you with eager anticipation. V'chikinu adar haboker, shemamtin al tikvaso zman rav, kimo im yismamea, Chake lo, like the Malbim says, like we have in one of the Ikari Emuna, right? The Rambam says that afa pishis mame im kol ze achake lo. So what is achake? See, people very often misunderstand. What does achake lo mean? I'll wait for him. You ever think, Shkayach, I'm going to wait for him. What else am I doing? Right? You know, what, do I have another option besides waiting for Mashiach? What's it? I'm not waiting anymore. So what do I gain by that? So you mean achake lo. So the Malbim says, no. Achakelo means what the Rambam meant was, I will wait with eager anticipation, which means that even though 2,000 plus years have elapsed and he has still not come, the fact that he has not come for 2,000 years in no way dampens my eager anticipation that he could still come today. That's what chake, that's what chake means. Not just to wait, because again, what else am I doing, right? Waiting could just be the absence of anything else. No, I'm not just sitting around waiting. I'm waiting with a sense of eager anticipation. Fine. So therefore, what the Malbim first does over here is something very interesting. The Malbim therefore says, Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem is not simply God, I am waiting for your salvation, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I await, I eagerly await, I eagerly anticipate your salvation. Looking number seven, we're just going through the Malbims now. So that's Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem, Ezrinu Maginenu Hu, I believe, I eagerly anticipate that you are going to be my salvation, you are going to help me. Number seven, Ki vo yismach libenu, she'enu, hasocheles l'Hashem, dome, el hasocheles l'adam. There's a very big difference between putting your faith in God, and going ahead and putting your faith in man. Meaning what he's picking up on over here is there's a difference with putting your faith in God and putting your faith in man. How so? If someone puts their faith in their fellow person and that person does not come through, turn the page to page three, that person does not come through, I, the individual who was waiting for the other to come through for me, I'm upset, I'm sad. Ki eno boteach al tishuosu bebitachon chazak, ki pen lo yochol o lo yirtza lahoshio. So if I put my faith in man, and that person does not come through for me, then really, I'm very sad, I'm very depressed, because at the end of the day, the truth is, I always had my doubts about whether or not the person could come through for me or not, and now they've just solidified the idea they can't come through for me. Aval vo yismach libenu. So look what the Malbim says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're different. You're different. Because by you, our heart could already rejoice. Hagam shelo ba'a hatikva taketh. Even though what? Even though I don't see immediate results. Ki b'shin kratsho batachnu. Because we have faith in your holy name. Bitachon chazak, strong faith. Because we have belief that you will provide us with salvation after your great name has been decreed upon us. So, what's going on over here? So look what the Malbim says, something fascinating. What the Malbim is also picking up on is the change in the verse. If you go back to number one for just a moment. So what does the pasuk say? Nafshinu chiksa l'Hashem, ezrinu maginenu hu. Right, my soul waits for God. Now, what does my soul wait for God mean? According to the Malbim, what does it mean? Right, I'm waiting for you to answer me. Meaning, I'm in trouble. I have difficulty, but I'm waiting for you to answer me. But what's interesting? Ezrinu umaginenu hu. What tense is that? Present. So interesting, right? I'm saying right now my soul is waiting for God, which means that I'm in a state of need. I have a problem. I have difficulties, right? I believe you're going to come. I'm waiting for you to come through. But yet, so I would have thought that David HaMelech would have phrased that in the future as well. You will be my Ezer. You will be my help. When you come through, like the Radak said, you will be my help. You will come through. You will be my shield when you come through for me. But he doesn't phrase it like that. Instead, he phrases it in the present. You are my source of salvation. You are my shield even now. Ki vo yismach libenu. Now, interesting. Excuse me. My heart rejoices in you. What tense? Now, interestingly enough, ki vo yismach libenu could be future, right? Ki b'shem kadsho batachnu is what? Is past present. Right? So what's going on over here? On one hand, I would have thought that David HaMelech would phrase everything in the future. Because after all, when you say Nafshinu Chiksa LaHashem means I'm wanting, I'm needing, I'm in a state where I'm not whole. I need you to make me whole. But yet I would have thought you will be my salvation. You will be my rock, or not my rock, with different capital. You'll be my salvation. You'll be my shield. I will rejoice in you. I will believe in you. This is now something amazing. David HaMelech is saying, you know what the difference between believing in God and believing in man? Is that when we believe in another person, the truth is, to a certain degree, they're always, and this sounds a little bit like a downer, but it's not really a downer, it's actually just true. There always has to be some level of expectation of failure. Not failure because a person doesn't care, but because when a person does something for you, there might be things that are beyond their control. Right? So a person might have all the best intentions, doesn't mean they have the ability to go ahead and carry through on every single thing. So when I put my faith in another person, that faith can never be absolute. Even if the person has the most wonderful intentions and puts in 1,000% of effort, they may fail just because of reasons or circumstances beyond their control. But it says something amazing. But when I put my faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I put my faith in God, then what happens? Aval, let's just read the underlying part in number 7 once more. Aval bo, when it comes to God, Yismach libeinu. I could rejoice now. Hagam shelo bo atik v'tekef. Even though what? Even though God has not yet come through. Ki b'shem kadsho batachnu b'itachon chazak. Because I believe in you. I believe in you, God, that you are going to come through. Shebevada yoshienu, that you will save us. Achar sheshem kadsho nikra aleinu kimo shekasav. V'shimcha aleinu nikra al tanichin. What is Malm saying? Malm saying something so amazing. That when I put my faith in God, I can begin to rejoice for salvation, even before it happens. How can you rejoice in the salvation of God before this salvation has occurred? And the answer is, because I am unequivocally sure that it will occur. Now again, with the caveat, it may not occur when I want it or how I want it. But salvation of God always comes. The Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always occurs. Therefore, says David HaMelech, what David is emphasizing over here is the ability to feel the simcha of divine salvation even before divine salvation actually occurs. The ability to feel saved, safe, and secure even before divine safety and security has actually been delivered. I'm so confident that you are going to take care of me, that Ribo Shel Olam, I already begin to rejoice in your salvation now. Now there's one caveat that David HaMelech adds in. Take a look at number 8. Says the Malbim, Yehi, look what he writes, because remember, what's the last pasuk? Yehi chastecha Hashem aleinu. Now what is that? Yehi chastecha Hashem aleinu, what tense? Present. Kasher Yichan Alach writes the Malbim. Mikol Makom, Avakish Bal Nitzarich Lechakos Ulahamtin Zman Rav Al Chesed Hashem. So David HaMelech throws in a little something over here, and he says, right after he finishes saying Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Vo Yismach Libinu, Ki B'Shem Kadosho Batachnu, I believe in you now, and I even feel your salvation now, even before it's come. I have one little request. And what's the one little request? Yehi chastecha aleinu. Let it come now. If you don't mind, I feel it now. But if you could actually deliver it now, God, it would be just a little bit more helpful. Ba'mitztarich lechakos, I'm just going to request, if I don't have to wait too long, ulahamtin zman rav al chesed Hashem. I believe it, and I even feel it now. But if you could actually deliver, like in 2 to 5 business days, that would be absolutely wonderful. If you could get it to me, because at the end of the day, as much as I believe I am a physical being, and I have difficulties, and my emuna is only going to get me so far. At some point in time, I'm nervous that perhaps my physical difficulties may get the best of me. So I'm going to hold on to my emuna for as long as possible and feel your salvation even before it occurs. But if you could just deliver that salvation as quickly as possible, I would be ever appreciative. Rakihi chastecha Hashem aleinu tekef. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you could bring your chesed upon us now, ka'asher yichanu v'toshienu tekef. So what comes out according to this third approach is something absolutely amazing. What David HaMelech is teaching us is the following. Nafshinu chiksa l'Hashem. Ribono shel olam. I am okay waiting for you. Because even though I have to wait for you, even though you're not delivering right now, nevertheless what? Ezreinu umagineinu hu. You are my salvation. You are my protector now. Ki vo yismach libeinu. Ki b'shem kadsho batachnu. I believe in you now even before you do deliver. I love you now even before you do deliver. I feel your salvation even before you actually deliver it. Because I'm so confident that it's going to come. That I have what the Malbim is explaining is the ability to reach into a future reality and pull it back to inform and color your present. I know that salvation will occur, and the knowledge that salvation, in whatever shape or form it may take, will occur, allows me to take that future reality, pull it back and into my present, and give me present assuredness. I am able to bank on future salvation to provide me with contemporary or present spiritual nechama, spiritual consolation for my difficulties. But one request, If you wouldn't mind, though, again, I'm going to keep to this theology, but if you wouldn't mind delivering this chesed, this salvation, now, ASAP, right, as quickly as possible, I would greatly appreciate it. Interestingly enough, we've actually seen this theme before. If you take a look at number 9, so this, again, is from Kapitel Yud Gimel. So this is only 20 kapitlach ago, but I think we must have done this probably years ago at the rate we go. So David HaMelech says in Kapitel Yud Gimel, Va'ani b'chasticha batachti. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I trust in your chesed. Yogel libi b'shuasecha. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Ashira laHashem ki gamal alai. I will sing to the Lord, for he has bestowed it upon me. And if you look at number 10, Rabbi Yitzhak Berdichev says something so astonishingly beautiful. The Rebbe writes, Ze masha amar David HaMelech lifnei Hashem. What was David saying to God, said the Rebbe? Kala olim smichim. The truth is, most people are only happy when God actually answers them. When God, for lack of a better term, comes through in the way they wanted. Look what he writes. Aval anachnu am Yisrael. But the Rebbe said, Os klal Yisrael, b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov v'arba imos hakidoshos. But we, the children of the Avos and Imos, listen to this. Etzleinu ze kol kach shoneh. By us, it's so different. Anachnu yodim. Bituchim umargishim. We know and we are confident and we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'azor lanu. God will always help us. And by the way, this is true as a nation and this is true as individuals. Anachnu yodim bevados shashem makshiv tfilasenu. I have no doubt. The only variable in life is how God is going to answer. The only variable is if God is going to give me what I want or God's going to give me what I need. That's the only variable. But the notion that he hears, the notion that he answers, it's vados. Look what the Rebbe says. Va'ani b'chastecha batachti. What does this mean? What is David HaMelech saying? What does it mean? I believe in your chesed. What does that mean? I believe in your chesed. Meaning, if you think about it, it's such a strange phrase. What should it say? Thank you, right? Meaning, I believe in your chesed. Either I am the beneficiary of your chesed, or I'm not the beneficiary of your chesed. So it's not a question of belief, it's a question of reality. Says Rabbi, no. What David HaMelech is saying is, Ani boteach b'chor ribono shel olam v'ani yodea. I believe you. See, he's talking, Rabbi's over here is talking in the context of Yamim Noraim, but we're going to globalize it a little bit. Ani yodea shetislach li. Va'ani yodea sheta'azra li l'takin es hakol, l'takin hakol, va'ani yodea shetitin li shana tova. Like I said, this is in the context of Yamim Noraim. But the Rebbe says something amazing. Va'ani b'chastecha batachti. I believe in your chesed. I believe in, what does it mean, I believe in your chesed? There's no big deal in believing in the chesed of God when God showers that chesed upon you. You know what it means when you acknowledge God when he showers his chesed upon you? It means you're not an ingrate. It means you're not an ingrate. Shkoyach. You're not an ingrate. Right? That's wonderful. That is my other. There are many ingrates. Right? So at least I'm enough of a mensch to be able to thank God when he gives me something. That's what David HaMelech is saying. I believe in your chesed. I believe in your chesed when? When? Before you give it to me. I believe that your chesed is coming even before you shower one little bit of chesed upon me. And look what he writes. V'lachin, afilu lifnei kein. Afilu lifnei sheta'azor li v'toshia, yagel libi b'shuasecha. Ani kvar sameach b'shuasecha. Look how the Rebbe interprets. Go back to number 9 for just one moment. Says Rebbe, what is Al Melch saying? V'ani b'chastecha batachti. I believe that your chesed is going to come. I believe you're going to shower me with chesed. Whether it's the chesed I want, when I want it, how I want it, that's up to God. That's not up to me. But I believe the chesed is going to come. And I'm so confident that the chesed is going to come. That what? Yagel libi b'shuasecha. I rejoice in your salvation. When do I rejoice in your salvation? When? When? Now. Not when the chesed comes, because it's no big deal to rejoice in the salvation of God when God has delivered that salvation to your doorstep. The great test of the spiritual medal of the Jew is, can you feel it? Can you feel it now, even before it's here? Can you believe it so much that literally your soul actually feels it, it's a reality? Can you rejoice in it even before you actually get it? Can you literally ashir al Hashem ki gamal alai? Can you sing praise to God for the goodness that he has bestowed upon you even before you receive that goodness, but are so confident that the goodness is going to come. So David HaMelech has already expressed this idea in Kapitel Yud Gimel, and apparently according to the Malbim, he's expressing it again over here. That the greatest level of emuna that the Jew has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not simply a thanks when God delivers the goods, or not simply a recognition that it is God when I am showered with bracha, but the ability to feel the salvation of God even before salvation is actually delivered. To be so confident in the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's going to take care of me, that I believe He's going to take care of me, not just I believe He's going to take care of me, but I already feel the salvation even in the midst of my difficulties. That's the chap. I already feel the salvation even in the midst of all my difficulties. So we have to ask ourselves an obvious question, which is, how does one get to this level? Because obviously, if you can imagine, I mean, I'm sure many of you are, but I think to myself, if you can get to this level, what that means is that when you encounter life challenge, it doesn't mean the challenges go away. It doesn't mean that the challenges are not important, or you say, no problem. The challenges could still be overwhelming. But the ability to be in the midst of one's life challenges and yet still acutely feel, the salvation of God even before salvation has actually been delivered is like the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment. How does one reach this level? So perhaps we could suggest the following. Take a look at number 11. So we learned in last week's parasha, Vayiskar Elokim es Rachel. The Ribon Shalom remembered Rachel, I mean, Rachel was barren. He remembered Rachel, Vayishma Eileha, he listened to her tfilos, Vayishma Elokim, Vayiftach es Rachman, he opened her womb, she conceived. Vatar Vateled Bein, she became pregnant, she gave birth to a son. Vatomer, Asaf Elokim es Cherpasi. Literally, God has collected my embarrassment. I was embarrassed because out of the four wives, I was the only one who did not bear children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has collected my embarrassment. And then Rachel Imenu does something that I think is so strange. Pasuk of Dalid, Vatikra Eshmo Yosef, she called his name Yosef. Why? Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. God should give me another child. It's a little chutzpah. I mean, it really is. Like, it's a little chutzpah, Dick. What are you talking about? What do you mean God should give you another child? First of all, besides the fact that it's not even like the right approach, even if you feel that way, that God should give you another child, even if you feel that way, but why would you forever memorialize that sentiment in the naming of your child? Meaning, had Rachel whispered this to one of the midwives, or had she told it to Yaakov Avinu, I understand. But to capture this sentiment in the naming of your child seems so wrong. What about thank you? What about finally? What about I'm so happy, let me rejoice in the child? No, God, I'll take another. Right? Thank you, sir, may I have another. Right? You know, what does it mean? What's going on over here? So Rashi HaKadosh understands it. Rashi says, no, it speaks to the piety of Rachel Imenu. Yosef Hashem li ben Acher, Yodas Haisa ben Nevuah, She'in Yaakov Asa Dahamid el Ashtem Asar Shvatim. So again, Rashi echoes this theme throughout the matriarchal narrative, that the matriarchs apparently knew that they were going to be 12 tribes. This is Rashi's Shita throughout the story. And Rashi uses this idea to explain many of the details of the various stories. So again, Rachel Imenu knew that he was going to have 12 sons. Amra, Yiratzon she'ozeh shu osed lahamid yemimeni. Lekach lo nispalala ela al ben acher. So Rashi says again, Yosef is number 11. She knows there's going to be 12. So right when Yosef is born, she realizes again, there's still one more slot. There's still one more tribal slot. There's one more shevet that needs to be born. So in the moment that she gives birth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let the last slot be filled for me. So the way Rashi understands it is it's not, God forbid, Rachel Imenu being ungrateful. It's Rachel Imenu having this unquenchable desire to take her matriarchal role, to do her part in forging the identity of the future Shvatim. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for what you've given me, but please give me the privilege to fill that last slot. But look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam asks a different question. The Rashbam says, now it's interesting, that Rachel Imenu says two things about when Yosef is born. Number one, she says, Asof Hashem Escher Pasi, God has collected my degradation, my humiliation. And then she also says, Yosef Hashem Ali Ben Acher, God should give me another son. And therefore the Torah says, Vatikra Shmo Yosef. So what's interesting is, what does Yosef go on? Is Yosef on Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi, that God has collected my degradation? Or is Yosef on Yosef Hashim li ben acher? So Rashbam says over here, number 13, Fatikra shmo Yosef, al sha'amra asaf Hashem escher pasi. So Rashbam says it would appear that Yosef, the name Yosef, corresponds to the first phrase, Asaf Hashem escher pasi, because you need to read the pasuk. Rachel Aminu says, God has collected my degradation. Vatikra shmo Yosef, which sounds like, why does she name him Yosef? Because Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi. Rashbam says there's a problem, however. Imkain, Tikra Eyu Asaf. If that's the case, why should she name him Yosef? She should have named him Asaf. Yud Shal Yosef Lama. So why is the Yud of Yosef there? Rather, says Rashbam, Al Shem Shenispalala Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. Rather, Hare Shem Zem Mishamish Shni Amiros Asaf Vi Yosef. Rather, says Rashbam something amazing. Rashbam says that the name Yosef, it actually, again, has two meanings. Two meanings, same shoresh of either Aleph Samech Fei or Yud Samech Fei, but same basic idea, which is, number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi, you have taken away or gathered up my degradation, my humiliation, and Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, and God should give me another child. Both concepts are embodied in the same name. Perhaps what the Rashbam is teaching us is an incredible yisod, which is, why does Rachel Imenu feel confident enough to go, meaning it took her so many years to have a child. So why does she feel confident enough to ask for another? Why does she feel confident enough to, in the moment that she's giving birth, why does she feel confident enough to ask for another child? What's the answer? Why does she feel confident enough to ask God for another child? Okay, because it could be the nevuah. Why else simpler? Because God did it for her already. So what Rachel Imenu is saying is, Ribono Shel Olam, what Rashbam is saying, I think, is like this. Asaf Hashem Eschar Pasi, God, you came through for me. And because I know that you came through for me, I am unequivocally sure that what? That what? That you can come through for me again. I'm not cold calling you for another kid. Right? Because remember, Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi, you've given me something so beautiful. And because you have come through, because you have given me, I'm so confident that I could say, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. Or in other words, what Rachel Imenu is teaching us is an incredible yesod in life. That where does confidence and the ability of God to come through come from? Where does that confidence come from? It comes from our past relationship. If we look at our lives, you know, even those of us, and there are those of us who have many, many challenges. But I want to make, I'm positive about one thing, that no matter how many challenges we may have in life, the Ribono Shel Olam has come through for each of us in so many different ways. And because God has come through for me in so many ways, because he has come through for me, I have a track record with God. The Ribono Shel Olam has given me so much. Everything that I want? No. When I want it? No. How I want it? No. But that's okay. God doesn't work for me. I work for God. But the Ribono Shel Olam has given me so much and come through for me so many times. And because I can look back at my life and see how many times God has come through for me, that historical track record with God does what? Creates a confidence for future performance. Just like Rachel Imenu says, Asaf Hashem Escher Pasi, you've come through for me in the past, so I'm unequivocally sure that you could come through for me in the future. Perhaps that's what David HaMelech is saying over here in this kapit. I want to show you something amazing. Go back to number one for just a moment. What does David HaMelech say? What does David HaMelech say? In Psukim, Yud Ches and Yud Tes. Back to number one, he says, Hine, Ein Hashem El Yirei Avlam Yachalim L'chasdo. The eye of God is always on those who fear him, those who await, or those who revere him, those who go ahead and pine for his chesed. L'hatzil mimavas nafsham ulachayosam bera'av. What has God done for us? He saved their soul from death and sustained them during famine. So what does David HaMelech say? We didn't focus on this pasuk purpose. I wanted to leave it for the end. What does David HaMelech say? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've come through so many times. You've come through so many times. You've saved us from death. You've saved us from famine and everything in between. Therefore, what does Allah say in the next pasuk? Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem ezenu magnenuhu. So because you have come through for me in the past, for me as an individual and for me as a people so many times in the past, I have so much incredible confidence that you are going to come through for me in the future. And that confidence is so acute that I could already feel the tingling of that salvation even before it has actually occurred. So David HaMelech is using the same model as Rachel Imenu. Now Rachel Imenu, of course, is not his, you know, it's not his alter baba. He comes from Leah Imenu, but nevertheless, same mishpacha, same family. David HaMelech is taking the cue from Rachel Imenu, just like Rachel Imenu was able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me another. And I feel it. I feel that this is my destiny to have this next child. I feel that it's my destiny to contribute to tribe number 12. And God, you know what? I feel so confident that you are going to give it to me. And by the way, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, by the way, does not have to be read as a request. Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher is what? Is a statement. Is a statement. Ribon Shalom, you're going to give me another. How can you be so sure? Because you've come through for me in the past. David HaMelech says, taking the play right from Rachel Imenu, Ribono Shel Olam, I could feel, Yageli Bibishua Secha, I could rejoice in salvation. I could rejoice in salvation even now before it comes. Nafshenu Chiksav Hashem, Kivo Yismach Libenu, even before it comes. You know why? Because Ribono Shel Olam, you've come through for me in the past so many times. And therefore, I must live my life with an ever-present sense of optimism that you will come through for me in the future. But not just a sense of optimism. I have to work on myself to be able to feel that salvation even before it has actually arrived. So if you bring this all together, we emerge from this capital really with two major ideas. Two major ideas. We'll leave out approach number two of the Ibn Ezra and the Radak because that's more the Pasha Pshat. But we emerge with two major spiritual treasures. The first, the approach of the Zera Yaakov, that at the end of the day, what do we want more than anything out of life? We want Nafshenu Chiksa LaHashem. We want to feel not just close. I want to feel in love. And not just, you know, we get along. I want to feel passionately in love with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I do that? Kivo Yismach Libenu. Only if I serve him out of simcha. And even if I don't feel that emotional simcha, at least engage in behavioral simcha. And when you engage in behavioral simcha, something amazing happens. One day, and sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it takes shorter, but if you spend enough time in behavioral simcha, one day you will feel the actual emotional simcha. V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, aseh devarav me'ahava, serve God like you love him, even if you're not feeling it just yet, and one day that love will come. If I want to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth is, it's very important. If I want to feel in love with God, it doesn't start here. It doesn't start internally. It starts externally by the actions that I do and ultimately how I do them. And lesson number two we learn from David HaMelech is that even in times of incredible difficulty, even in moments of Nafshinu Chiksa LaHashem, because I'm in trouble, I'm in difficulty, the job of the Jew is to never look at life in a vacuum. Whenever I'm in difficulty, whenever I have a challenge, the first thing to do is look back in my life and ask myself the simple question, has God come through for me in the past? And the answer to that is always yes. It's always yes. It does not matter how turbulent your life circumstances are. God has always come through for each of us in some way in the past. Whenever I encounter challenge, look retrospectively. Has Yibur Shalom come through for me in the past? And the answer is yes. And if God has come through for me in the past, if Asof Hashem Escher Pasi, if Ribon Shalom has already come through for me in the past, then you know what? Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. Yagel Li Bibishua Secha. Yichastucha Hashem Aleinu. I believe he's going to come through for me in the future. And if I truly believe that he's going to come through for me in the future, then I'm able to draw on that future salvation, and I'm able to bring it from my future into my present. And by drawing from my future and bringing that future salvation into my present, I'm able to steady myself, I'm able to bolster myself, and I'm able to meet my challenges with a renewed sense of vigor and confidence. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll continue in Meretz Hashem, Kapitel Lamed Daled next week.